American police shoot and kill about 1,000 people a year. Most are armed, but not all. Some of the people killed are having mental health crises or are trying to goad the police into shooting them.
And as more and more of these encounters end up on video, some people are demanding that police wait longer before shooting, even if it means taking more personal risk. A warning, this piece contains some disturbing audio. NPR's Martin Costi has the story.
A couple of summers ago in Polsbo, Washington, in a crowded park before a fireworks show, a man named Stonechild Chiefstick was bothering people. At first, the cops just talked to him about it, but when they got a report that he'd threatened someone with a screwdriver, they went to arrest him.
Get your hand out of your pocket.
Hey, chill out, chill out. Hey.
The encounter was captured on body camera. The camera was knocked to the ground before the crucial moment, but witnesses say Chiefstick turned toward the police with the screwdriver in his hand. Some say he lunged. That's when one officer shot and killed him. The police department determined the shooting to be justified, a conclusion rejected by Trishandra Pickup, Chiefstick's ex-fiancée and the mother of his children.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why they just shoot.
Pickup is part of a coalition of people who've had loved ones killed by law enforcement. They just pushed through a new state law that makes deadly force a last resort for police. It's not clear the law would have prevented Chiefstick's death, but she hopes it'll change the way that cops handle these moments.
You can't just shoot and kill everyone when you feel they might do something. And it, to me, seems like they should be a little more brave.
Activists often point to other developed countries where police rarely shoot people in these situations. The United Kingdom, especially, where most officers are still unarmed and the number of people they kill every year is in the single digits. But Bill Bratton says comparisons like this drive him crazy.
You really can't compare the two countries.
Bratton was New York police commissioner twice, as well as police chief in Los Angeles, and he's written a new memoir called The Profession. He says for cops in the U.S., it's simply a different world.
The issue is guns. A country that has more guns than people, which increases significantly the apprehension level of an officer in every encounter, because he never knows if he's going to be dealing with somebody with a gun.
And that's certainly true. Nearly 50 American officers were shot and killed last year, a danger their British counterparts rarely face. But what if we took guns out of it and just compared how the countries handled situations where the threat is a screwdriver or a crowbar or a knife? Situations where the British cops stopped the armed person without firing a shot. Such as the man in this video from the UK. He's out in the street, running at officers while waving a machete. They surround him, keep him at bay from a distance, until more cops arrive with plastic shields, and then they all just pile on top of him. Jerry Ratcliffe says they can do this because they train for it. He was a British cop, and he remembers practicing this very tactic.
And the far end of the room was was a 6'5" physical training instructor wielding a baseball bat. And the idea is to basically push them up against the wall such that they're basically unable to harm you because of these large shields between you and them. And then other officers can take the weapon out of their hands, and then we can easily restrain them.
Ratcliffe is now a criminal justice professor at Temple University in Philadelphia, and he says he's rarely seen these tactics taught in the U.S., in part because the priority here is to train cops to face guns. He says this is just one of the ways that the prevalence of guns taints, that's his word, American policing, even in situations where a suspect doesn't have one.
Before the officers leave the academy, they're already sensitized to the perceived heightened level of risk that police officers face in society. And I think that's a big difference between training in the United States and training in other countries that I've worked with.
That focus on risk has made American cops less willing or less able to get in close and grapple with people, says former NYPD officer Brandon Del Pozo.
Police academies that say, listen, the closer you are to a person as a suspect, the more dangerous it is, especially things like the 21-foot rule, which says if you're within 21 feet of someone and they have a knife, that rubric says you're at their mercy. Things like that have encouraged cops to keep their distance and use weapons more often.
He recalls being told as a young police officer that his number one priority on the job was to go home safe every night.
And I think that, you know, for the most part, that comes from a good place, and it's true. But there came a point where I thought as a cop. Part of valor is taking risks for the right reasons, and the sanctity of human life is a good reason to take a risk.
In 2019, when he was a police chief in Burlington, Vermont, Del Pozo wrote an op-ed in the New York Times saying it was time for American police to learn from their British colleagues, especially when confronted with weapons other than guns. But this is not an easy sell. Chad Lyman is a Las Vegas police officer and defensive tactics trainer. He doesn't recommend that American police officers start trying to grab knives out of people's hands, in part because of the risk to bystanders.
If in the battle for the knife, my right hand gets injured to the point it doesn't function, I'm never going to lethal force. Lethal force is gone. So now if I lose to this guy, he just starts stabbing everybody else who's got their cell phone out, watching him stab me.
At the same time, Lyman does agree that American police have something to learn from the British. He says cops are not trained nearly well enough in how to fight, especially in empty hand techniques. So they end up depending too much on tasers, which often don't work, and then guns.
We're moving away from those days when we would just wade in and start grabbing guys and controlling them and using force in a grappling context. I do think more grappling is the answer.
But if American police were to start grappling more, it would come with a cost. In Britain, police are rarely killed, but they are injured in assaults more often than American cops. Also, when American police wrestle someone, they have to worry about the guns on their belts and whether they'll be stolen and used against them. Jerry Radcliffe says we need to be honest about all of this.
Are we prepared to accept the likelihood that police homicides are going to increase? And are we being reasonable in asking police officers to accept that increased risk?
It's very hard, but it's also a responsibility that I think comes with having a badge.
Elaine Simons lost her foster son to a police shooting. She's part of that group of family members who pushed through the stricter use of force law in Washington state.
You have a dual responsibility to protect and make sure that people are safe, and yet impacted families are not feeling that we're having that same due process for our loved ones.
Still, it's not easy to ask police to take greater risks, especially at a time when departments are having trouble recruiting and retaining officers. But now that so many police shootings are on video and are being judged by the public, there are more people like Simons who want the police to readjust the balance between their safety and that of the people they're told to confront. Martin Costi, NPR News.